Today's daf is Erevin daf Mem Ches. In today's daf, we're going to discuss the following three topics. First, we're going to start with Rabbi Chiya teaching that a watertight mechitza is necessary if you have a body of water that's in two separate Tchumei Shabbos and you want to be able to draw water, so you need a mechitza in the middle that's watertight. And we're going to say that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina mocked that idea. He didn't like it at all. So we're going to have four explanations of what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina found so objectionable about this idea of requiring a watertight mechitza. Then the second topic is going to be the Gemara is going to elaborate on the source for and the halachic details of the measurement of dalet amos that each person who doesn't have a tchum is given, that he's at least allowed to go dalet amos. So what does that mean, that he's allowed to go dalet amos? Then our final discussion, or where does it come from? Then our final discussion on the daf is about a case of three adjoining chatzeros, and each of the outer chatzeros have an eruv with the middle one, but not with each other. The two outer chatzeros don't have an eruv with each other. So we're going to have two explanations why the outer chatzeros are not considered to be joined through the middle chatzer, and we're going to question and defend each of the explanations. So we left off on the bottom of daf mem zayin amud beis, two lines from the bottom. Tani Rabbi Chiya, cherem shebein tchumei Shabbos tzarich mechitza shel barzel lahafsiko. So if you have a body of water in which the tchumen of two different cities end, and you have you need a mechitza shel barzel in order to split down the middle. You need an iron mechitza to separate the water on each side if you want to be able to get water from that body of water. If you want to be able to draw water from there on Shabbos, you need a mechitza in the middle of it. So mechayech alei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina mocked that idea. He thought that was a joke to say you need a mechitza shel barzel. So my time to come mechayech. What's so funny about that? Why would he mock that idea? What's so wrong with it? So the Gemara has four possible suggestions. Number one, says the Gemara, ilei mishum detani l'karab yochum ben nuri l'chumra v'yusfir l'karabon l'kula. Maybe the reason he mocked it was because this idea suggests that we paskin like Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri l'chumra. Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri, who says that about heftzei hefker, that he's willing to be machmir like Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri. But he held, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina himself, who mocked the idea, held that we should go l'kula like the shita of the Rabbanan. So mishum desaver l'kula man tani l'chumra mechayechala. That's not a good explanation. Just because someone holds l'chumra, someone holds l'kula, and just because you hold l'kula, it means that you should mock anyone who holds l'chumra. That doesn't seem like the nice way to go about having a machlokas in halacha. In the Torah Chaim, the Achron explains that the Kavana of the Makshan was that even though we paskin halacha k'divrei mekel be'eriv, meaning the Kavana of the Makshan was that he's right to say that we should go l'kula like the Rabbana, not like Rabbi Yochum and Nuri, because halacha k'divrei mekel be'eriv, but still you would never mock someone who teaches the idea of the Chumrah, because we always still teach the Chumrah. That's the Gemara we had earlier in Yud Gimel Beis. Beis Hillel would teach not only their own shitos, they would be shona divrei Beis Shammai. They would teach Divrei Beis Shammai as well, even though Beis Shammai was the more machmer shita, they didn't accept the halacha, because Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chaim demands that we learn both sides of the machlokas, even once we've arrived at a halacha conclusion. So the Torah Chaim says, all he did, he never said that this is how we paskin. Tani Rabbi Chiya, he just taught this idea. He taught the shita of Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri. Not the pashtus. The pashtus is that Tani Rabbi Chiya, that we should paskin this way, and that's what he was. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting that he was mocking. Okay, but that's possibility number one. So possibility number two now, says the Gemara. Ella mishum detanya naharos hamoshkin umayonos hanovin harei hein karagle kaladam. Maybe it's because, how could you say that the body of water, we're worried about the Tchum Shabbos, you can't bring water in that's not from your Tchum, because any water you pull out from that body of water might have come from the other side of the body of water, might have been from outside the Tchum. Didn't we learn that any moving bodies of water are karagle kaladam? They're not limited to a Tchum Shabbos that they started Shabbos in anyhow, because it's moving at the time that Shabbos begins? So says Gemara, that wouldn't be such a fair critique. Maybe we're not talking about a moving moving body of water. We're talking about a stagnant body of water, and therefore it is kona shvisa. What does it mean, karagle kol adam? So this is a machlokas. I don't know if we mentioned last time we discussed karagle kol adam. Machlokas rishonim what the words mean. Rashi Maseches Beitza daf lamites, and the Ravid quoted by the Ritva and daf memvav over here quotes that karagle kol adam is ein lem shvisa klal. There is no shvisa for that water. Rather, whoever picks it up can take it to anywhere within his tchum. It assumes the tchum of anybody who takes from that water. So whatever water you draw, it assumes your tchum. However, Tosos Memhem Beis understands Kragli Kol Adam means that, like we say by Bar Shal Ole Bavel, that it's Kragli HaMemale, which means that the water goes after the Memale HaRishon, that the first one who fills it up, when you fill water from it, it assumes your tchum, and even if you give it to somebody else, they can't take it within their tchum, they have to stay within your tchum. So is it that it has no tchum Shabbos, and whoever happens to have it at the time can take it anywhere within their own tchum? That's Shitas Rashi and the Ravid. Or is it no? The first person to take that water, it has to stay within his tchum, even if he later on passes it on to other people. Okay, but either way, that second suggestion can't be the reason that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina mocked this Tani Rabbi Chia. So the Gemara says, Ella, a third suggestion. Mishum deketani tzarech mechitza shel barzel lahafsiko. It's because he says that you need a mechitza shel barzel to divide the water. Umayshna kanim delo. Why can't you just have a reed mechitza that allows water through? Daili buhumaya. It's because it allows water through. Well, guess what? Shel barzel nami aili buhumaya. You're not going to be able to construct a mechitza that's really going to keep water on either side. The water's always going to be able, there's always going to be some water that seeps through. No matter what kind of mechitza, no matter what kind of engineers you employ to try to split the water in the middle. So says Gemara v'dilma tzarech vein lo takana kamar. Maybe in a chinami, that's exactly what Rabbi Chia meant, that he wanted to say that yeah, you would need a mechitza shel barzel, as a mechitza shel barzel is an expression. Mechitza shel barzel, Chazal always used it as an expression. Mechitza shel barzel beinam levein aviyam sheba shamayim. Right, a person does certain averos, it's like you're creating this barrier between us. Well, you could have a mechitza shel barzel between us and heaven. You can't build such a thing. No, it means that you can't. That's exactly the point. That there is nothing you can construct to make it mutter. That's exactly what Rabbi Chia was trying to say. So that can't be the reason to mock what Rabbi Chia said. Ella, rather the fourth explanation, mishum dekalhu shekilu chacham b'mayim kidrabi tavla, that it's this is one of the kulas that we have by water, is that you shouldn't require such a significant mechitza, like we learned from Rabbi Tavla. Debar mina Rabbi Tavla mirav mechitza tluya ma'u shetate b'churva. So they asked, Rabbi Tavla asked from Rav, what's the halacha? Can you have a mechitza tluya, mechitza that doesn't reach all the way to the ground, that's hanging in midair? Can that be matir carrying in a churva? Samlei ein mechitza tluya. Taras ella b'mayim, a mechitza tzluya only works in water. Kalu shekilu chacham b'mayim. That's a special kula that we dafka by water and by nothing else. So don't you see? In water, we don't need such a strong mechitza. By water, we could have even a mechitza tzluya. So he mocked him because he said, "What are you requiring a mechitza shel barzel? Even if you mean that we require a mechitza shel barzel and we have no way of building one, but you don't even need it in the first place. A regular mechitza shel kanim should be fine as well." What's this kalu shekilucham? Why are we more makil by mayim? Meaning, granted, I see we're more makil by mayim from the fact that we allow mechitza tzliya. But why? We don't allow mechitza tzliya anywhere else. Why would we allow mechitza tzliya by mayim? So the Ravid is quoted by a number of Rishonim, by the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran. They all quote the Ravid as saying the reason we're more makil by mechitza tzliya that's in water is because water typically is very deep. It's more than 10 tfachim deep. And anything that's a malame asar tfachim from the karka is not kona shvisa. And therefore, the water that's above 10 tfachim is considered to be floating in midair. It's considered to not be kona shvisa. So since it's not kona Kona Shvisa, you could be metaltal it anywhere. You could bring it to wherever you want because it's not limited to be Kona Shvisa. Aye, the Gemara in Shabbos Tafim Bey says that Mayim, that's Munach al Gabe Mayim, that's considered to be Munach, it's considered to be resting, because Kach Derech Hanachasam, that's the Derech for water to sit on top of other water. So shouldn't the top water also be considered, therefore, as if it's on the ground, as if it's on the ocean floor, and not as if it's hanging in midair? So says the Ravid, yeah, but that's only Legabe the Halachos of Akira and Hanacha. That if a person does an Akiras Mayim and he places them down somewhere else, he picks up water from Rosh Hashanah and puts it down somewhere else, so that's considered that he did an Akira and a Hanacha legabe the halachos of Otsoa mirushus lirushus. But legabe the halachos of Tchum Shabbos, the water that's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, is not kona shvisa because it's lamala me'asara. That is the shita saravid that they all quote. Why do all the Rishonim quote this ravid? Because they all want to attack it. They all have lots and lots of kashas on it. So the Rashba points out the following three kashas on this ravid. First of all, who says that we're dealing with something that's more than 10 tefachim deep? It could be the water that we're dealing with over here is less than 10 tefachim deep. It never said that it's more than 10 tefachim deep. Second of all, he says, if the whole heter of mechitza tliya is only because the mayim el yonim is not kona shvisa, so shouldn't we be choshish that when a person tries to draw water from here, he's not only getting the mayim el yonim, he's getting some of the mayim atachtonim also, that he might be getting some of the water that was kona shvisa, and that's going to be a problem? And third, he says, the Gemara on Mem Hamad Beis asked that the Bnei Ha'ir should not be allowed to use rainwater that came down on Yantif because the Mayim was Kona Shvisa Be'ukainus. It was Kona Shvisa in the ocean. Remember the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara answered that the ocean is moving or whatever, but the Gemara asked that question, that it was Kona Shvisa in the ocean. Certainly the ocean is deeper than 10 Tfachim, and still the Gemara assumes that it's Kona Shvisa, or that it would have been had the ocean been stagnant, had it not been moving. So how can you say that anything is deeper than 10 Tfachim? We're not worried about being Kona Shvisa. So on that last point, the Chidush Aran asks that Kasha also, and he points out that the Chidush Aran asks that Kasha, leaves it as a Kasha, but it could be pointed out that the Mi'iri on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph assumes that clouds form from the water at the bottom of the ocean, not from the water at the top of the ocean. So if you say like that Mi'iri, or if one were to have been assuming, if the Ravid were assuming like that Mi'iri, then this wouldn't be Akasha, because the clouds that we're worried about that formed and that caused the rain didn't come from the water on top of the ocean. Whatever the Matzias is irrelevant, but if the Ravid was assuming like that Mi'iri, that would be the basis for what he said in terms of that Kasha. The Ritva just adds a fourth Kasha over here. The Ritva points out that previously we said that Rabbi Chanina was mistapik if yesh tchumen l'mal me'asara or ain't tchumen l'mal me'asara. According to the Ravid, the Gemara should have been poshet the safek from Rabbi Chia, that there's no kinyan shvisa l'mal me'asara from Tani Rabbi Chia, that Rabbi Chia taught that you need this mechitza shel barzel. Apparently, so we should have been able to say that we should have been poshet this safek. So that's the Ritva's fourth kasha, that this should have come up in that discussion of whether yesh mechitza l'mal me'asara or ein mechitza. Great, so everyone did a fantastic job of rejecting the Ravid, but then what's pshat? Why is it that mechitza tliya works in mayim? Why is it that we're more mekel b'mayim if it's not what the Ravid said? So the Rashba and the Ritva suggest that the reason that we're more mekel by mechitza tliya in mayim is because something mayim is something that's constantly needed. We always find boros in between shtei chatzeros, you always find porches built on top of water. People always need to draw water, and there's a big tircha if we require them to make a mechitza all the way until the bottom of the body of water, and therefore the Chum didn't require it. They just didn't require it because it would have been too big a tircha for too fundamental a need. Now this obviously assumes that the whole issue is midrabanan, right? That the whole issue being metaltal mayim is only midrabanan, so it's heimamru v'heimamru, and they were making it with a more a makeshift type of mechitza. Now the third possible shita as to why we're mekel by mayim is the Mi'iri. The Mi'iri writes that mechitza tliya, normally, what's the chisaron of mechitza tliya? Meaning the Mi'iri flips the question on its head. Instead of saying, why all of a sudden are we allowing mechitza tliya by mayim? The Mi'iri says, let's take a step back. Why don't we allow mechitza tliya anywhere else? Meaning mechitza, it's 10 tefachim, right? So it should divide. So why don't we allow mechitza tliya? So Miri says, very simple why we don't allow mechitza tliya. It's gediyim bokim tachteha. Any mechitza that a small farm animal could just walk right underneath it, so it's not doing its job as a mechitza. An animal could walk right underneath it. So the Chum are saying that even though in so what, that was all shaila about a churva. In a churva, there aren't farm animals. Farm animals don't hang out in a churva. So one would think that a mechitza tluya would work. So the Gemara said, no, we're still anywhere on dry land, we're still not going to allow a mechitza tluya. But by mayim, where you never see any animals walk underneath it, because it's all the way below, underneath the water, you would never see that happening. Therefore, we're going to be making with the mechitza tluya. The whole reason we generally are machmir the mechitza tluya is because it looks bad. That this is a mechitza. You see things passing by underneath all the time. How could that be a mechitza? It doesn't look bad when you have it by water. Okay, the Rif and the Rush quote Rabbi Chia that required mechitza shel barzel betoch achritz in order to be able to fill water from it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch passes in Simtav Beis Si'if Aleph, like Rabbi Chia. The problem is that the Magen Avraham and Sifkat and Aleph raises the question. In our Gemara, it seemed to assume that Rabbi Chia only said his shita according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, holds the Heftzei Hefker Akona Shvisa. Right, that was the very first point. That what didn't you like about Rabbi Chia? That he held like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? That's what you didn't like about him? So you can't criticize just because he holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But the bottom line is, the Gemara sounds like he does hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that Heftzei Hefker Akona Shvisa. So it sounds like according to the Rabbanu hold that Heftzei Hefker are not Akona Shvisa, then you would not need a Mechitza in the water. So that's the Kasha that they all ask. That we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So how come the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Chia, that you need a Mechitza Shal Barzel, it's a stir in the Psak. So Magen Avraham is mitarets, that you have to say that the Rif and the Rush hold, that when the Gemara says, E lema mishum detani lach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri l'chumra, that's the Shita of the Makshan, who's wondering why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina mocked Rabbi Chia. So he suggested maybe it's that Rabbi Chia goes like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But the Maskana said Gemara, Rabbi Chia has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Chia says his Shita even according to the Rabbanan. The Maskana of the Gemara is that the reason Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina laughed is because he kilu chacham b'mayim, that you don't need a mechitza shal barzel. So then there's no makor to be mechadeh, so Rabbi Chia only said according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, so now let's see weiter the Gemara. We're at the two dots. Chacham omrim ein lo ella arba amos. Chacham said that all he's got is dalet amos. Right, this is the Mishnah in the Mishnah, both the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda held that a sleeping person does not get a full tchum Shabbos, rather he gets dalet amos. But there seems to be some sort of machlokas how exactly to measure the dalet amos. Remember, whether hu be'emtza'an, whether you walk 4 amos, but the chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, haim netanakama. Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama seem to say the same thing. So, amar rav shmona al shmona ike benayu. The nafkamina is, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, is you get 8 amos by 8 amos. Meaning, they both say you don't get a full tchum Shabbos, and you only get dalet amos in whatever direction he chooses. The difference between their opinions, the chachamim hold, he can walk 4 amos in each direction, which means he can walk 4 amos to the east and 4 amos to the west, which means he really gets a square of 8 amos, whereas Rabbi Yehuda only allows him to walk 4 amos in one direction, but not in the other direction. So that's the major difference between the two shitos in the Mishnah. Tananya nami hachu. We have a brisa that says just like this, that this is the machlokas. Yesh l'shmona al-shmona divrei meir, v'amarava machlokas l'halich. Avalotaltal divrei akol, arba amos in tfeilo, that we have Remeir that says beferish that you get 8 amos, not just 4 amos. Rava just adds another detail that the machlokas about the 8 amos versus the 4 amos is only in terms of how far you're allowed to walk. But to be metaltal berushas rabim, to carry something, that's certainly you're only allowed to carry for dalet amos, even if one is allowed to walk for 4 amos. So how do we paskin? You get 4 amos, you get 8 amos. If a person was sleeping, benesh mashal, in the middle of nowhere, does he get 4 amos or does he get 8 amos? So several Rishonim, the Bala Ma'or, the Rashba, then this is how the Ramah paskins, and Shin Sadi Vav Sif Aleph, paskin like the Tanakama. Arba amos means shmona al shmona, that a person actually gets 8 amos by 8 amos. However, the Ravid and the Magen Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Simishin Sadivav, paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, person gets only dalet amos, but you could choose where you want your dalet amos. Meaning which direction you want to take the dalet amos, but it's still only dalet amos, not 8 amos. Why would you paskin like the Tanakama? Meaning what would lead the Ramah to learn a paskin like the Tanakama, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rashba and the Meiri explain that very simple. We paskin like Tanakama, the Mishnah holds that you get 8 amos because halachik divrei mekel be'eruv. This is halachik divrei mekel be'eruv. They always follow the more lenient opinion when it comes to eruv. It's interesting because this isn't about eruv, right? It's about what your tchum is when you don't have a tchum, what your makom is when you don't have a tchum. So it's when there's no eruv, when there's not even a tchum with which to make an eruv. But that's still considered within the general category, according to these rishonim, of halachik divrei mekel be'eruv. Great, so once we say halachik divrei mekel be'eruv, why would you argue? Why would you say the other side? So the Rashba says, maybe the reason the Ravid paskens like Rabbi Yehuda is because in the Braisa, it's quoted as a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And one of the klalei apsak that we just got through learning yesterday is that when you have machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, you pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. So if it's a Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, Zeneinu Chinami, you're going to pass on like the Tanakama because he's the more makel one. But if it's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, then you have to follow the Kal Psak and you're going to have to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. There's also a discussion, according to those Rishonim, that pass on like Tanakama, that you get 8 amos by 8 amos. There's a further machlokas Rishonim. Do you get to pick all 8 amos on one side? Meaning the way they express it is you get 4 amos. L'kol tzad sheyirtzeh. So he said, what does it mean l'kol tzad sheyirtzeh? Even on both sides. Take 4 that way, 4 that way. Can I just take 8 that way and none the other way? Or is it, no, this is my makom. My makom is defined as an even area that surrounds me. So the Rashba and the Magen Mishnah in the 27th paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos explain that a person is not able to choose 8 amos kol tzad. You have your 4 amos l'kol ruach because we're defining your makom by where you are, not by what you want, but by where you are. So the area around you defines your location. However, the Meiri writes that if you hold like the Tanakama, we do not say that if you choose 4 amos of Mizrach, so then you're not allowed to choose 4 amos that you have left. That you have to choose a dafka l'tzad ma'ariv, because as long as you stay within that frame, that's all a person needs to do. Okay, so now says the Gemara, v'hani dalet amos hechaksiva. Where does it say dalet amos? These 4 amos that we keep on talking about. Where does it say that? So machlokes rishonim, what we're talking about? Which 4 amos that we keep on talking about? So some of the rishonim, Rashi, and others suggest that what we're talking about, a person who's yotzei chutz l'tchuma, what we were just talking about, a person who's outside his tchum, and therefore only gets dalet amos, only allowed to walk, dalet amos. That's what we're talking about, those dalet amos. Where does it say anything about those dalet amos? The Rambam, in the 12th paragraph of Shabbos, Halach Tezvav, says it's mutal talpul b'rishos harabim b'toch dalet amos, al dalet amos, the heter to carry less than dalet amos in rishos harabim. So where does that come from? That he understands that the Gemara, Mara's answer to this question, he quotes in that context. Where does the dalet amos that a person is allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah come from? Pashtos is, Gaon Yaakov points out, it could be the Gemara is asking on both, meaning they're both about dalet amos. Where do we get this magic number of dalet amos defined? Because it's both the same idea, meaning the idea of carrying dalet amos in Rosh Hashanah. Pashtos, unless you hold like we pass on like the Ramo, that you get 8 amos when you're outside the Tchum, but still you can't carry more than 4 amos. But if you were to assume like the Shulchan Aruch, that the halacha is that it's dalet amos that you get when you're outside the Tchum, Pashtos is it's the same idea. It's that's what defines the person's makom. Your makom is dalet amos. Where do we get that idea that one's makom, that a human being's makom, is dalet amos? So says Marek Ditani, you have a brisa. Shavu ish tachtav. Kit tachtav, that it relates to what's under him. If a person were lying down, how much space is tachtav? Vekama tachtav, gufo shalosh amos. A person, we assume, an average person's height is 3 amos. Va'ama kadei livshot yodav araglav, divrei meir. Plus you give him an extra ama in order to be able to stretch out his arms and his legs. That if a person stands straight and puts his arms up in the air, so that's dalet amos. Because what's the measurement of an ama? It's from the elbow to the top of the middle finger. So if you stick your hands in the air, the top of your head typically is, you know, runs parallel to the elbow, and therefore you have exactly 1 amma, or roughly 1 amma above a person's head. So if a person is 3 ammos, plus the extra amma, so that's dalar amos. That's where we get the idea of dalar amos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, gufo shalosh amos, va'amma kadei sheyitol chefetz mitachas margalos u'meniach tachas merashosav. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, nothing to do with stretching your arms out. Your body is 3 amos tall, and then you could take a kli from underneath your body and put it under your head, and you have to have that wiggle room to be able to move a kli from under oneself to from below oneself to on top of oneself or to under a person's head. So that's where you get the dalar amos. My benayu, ikabenayu arba amos mitzumtzamos. Nafkamina is it exactly dalar amos, or do we give a little bit of extra wiggle room? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mitzumtzamos, says Rashi. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a little bit, it's larger, because pishut yadayim v'raglayim sometimes is a little more than an amma. When a person really stretches, sometimes the extra stretch is a little more than an amma beyond his height. So that's nafkamina between them. Now this idea, gufo shalosh amos, Tosos over here and in many other places in Shas, is mechadesh, that when we say a person is 3 amos tall, we do not mean that a person from head to toe is 3 amos tall. It means that a person from shoulders to toe is 3 amos tall. It's excluding a person's head. If you include a person's head, a person is more than 3 amos tall. Says Tosos, what's the raya? Tosos starts with the kasha. The very first sugya, Maseches Basra, the Gemara talks about the concept of hezek ri'iya, that you're not allowed to invade somebody's privacy by peeking in on their chatzer. So he can, your neighbor can force you to contribute toward paying for a wall that will separate your chatzeros so that you won't be able to see into each other's yards. How high does that wall have to be? Can you force me to build a 10 amma high wall? No, you can force me to build a 4 amma high wall so that I won't be able to see into his chatzer. Frektosos, if an average person is only 3 amos tall, why do I need a 4 amma wall to stop me from seeing into his chatzer? So first Tosos suggests maybe it's because the pam sheish kav shusha samach lekosel, to support the wall, sometimes they have a little mound of dirt right by the wall, so if I walk right up to the wall, I'll be able to see over it. Sometimes the person will stand on his toes if he's really curious as to what's going on the other side, so 4 amos will be extra protection. But then Tosos says, no, the real answer is Hadam or Hacha Gufo Gimel Amos, Hainu Below Rosho. That when we say a person's 3 amos tall, that's excluding the head. You need the extra amma because our eyes are in our head. So that's what we're going to be able to see if we don't have a wall of Dalet Amos. Aye, Frektosos, what about the Gemara that tells us that the Shir Mikvah is an amma by amma Berom Shalosh Amos, so that a person could fit inside a mikvah, meaning the Shir Mikvah is the size of a person. 1 amma by 1 amma, 3 amos tall. But wait a second, when one goes to the mikvah, their entire body, including their head, has to go into the mikvah. So he says, yeah, the amount of water that you should have in a mikvah is you put water 1 amma by 1 amma, 3 amos tall, and then you go in the water, and the water level rises above a person's head. So a person himself is really only 3 amos tall. The water level will go up when the person goes in because of the displacement of the mass of the person's body that goes into the water. Great. Only one little problem with this. The Rashash points out that you have a serious issue over here. If you hold that a person is only 3 amos tall, what did the Gemara say? Where did we get 4 amos from? You have the height of the person plus stretching out his arms above his head. Now that really works if you stretch out your arms and from the elbow runs parallel to the top of your head, not to the top of your shoulder. So what does it mean we give a person room to stretch out his arms? So what you have to say is Tosfos assumes in a sleeping position, in a lying down position on the floor, person typically does not lie on his back and stretch his arms like that. It's however much his arms are going to stretch above his head when he's moving around is not going to be completely outstretched, and therefore the dalet amos would only require 1 additional amma above shoulder length. Now it's interesting, the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam writes a person is allowed to be metaltel b'rishus rabim b'toch arba amos umipia kabbalah amru shezeh shenemar shavu ish tachtav. That means you shouldn't be metaltel chutz la'arba amos, because it's shehu kemidas orech adam kishayifshot yadav raglav. The Rambam quotes this the idea that it relates to stretching out a person's limbs. Beis Yosef just asks, we have a klal biyodenu. We have machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yehuda, halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not just an academic machlokas. We said there's a machlokas here with a nafkamina. Ika benayim mitzumtzamos. Is it because of pishut yad of raglav, or is it because you want to move a kli from underneath you to on top of you? So why does the Rambam quote the reason of Rabbi Meir when he argues in Rabbi Yehuda? It's against the klal and psak. Klal and psak is you're supposed to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the kasha that they ask on the Ram. So all the Akronim try to figure out why the Ram Dafka went with that answer. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Amalei Rav Misharshi Lebrei. Ki ayalas the kamei de Rav Papa. So Misharshi said to his son, when you go visit Rav Papa, here's what I want you to do. Bay minei, ask him the following shayla. Arba amu sha'amru, ba'amu didei yavin alei, or ba'amu shal kodesh yavin alei. Is there a standard measurement of an amma? Is it like a foot or a yard or whatever where you have clear standard measurements? Or does it depend on a person's own body? Does it depend on a person's own height? Meaning a person's arm from elbow to the top of his middle finger. Some people have longer arms, some people have shorter arms. Mm-hmm. So does the amma adjust based on that? Meaning my dalet amos that I'm allowed to carry, that I'm allowed to walk when I'm outside my tchum. So is it my dalet amos or is it dalet amos? So im amar lach amos shel kodesh yavin alei. Then he armed him with a follow-up question. He says, if he tells you that it's a standard measurement of amos shel kodesh, Ogmel Chabashan Mateyelov. So ask him, what's Ogmel Chabashan supposed to do if he's stuck beyond his Tchum Shabbos? Lav Dafka Ogmel Chabashan. What's a giant supposed to do? He's not going to be able to even lie down because he's going to be outside of a standard Dalet Amos. V'imamer Lach Bama Didei Yavin Alei. Emelei Maitaim Lo Katani La Gabe Yeshar Muhakolafi Mashu Adam. And if he tells you that it's based on the person, on the individual, so then you should follow up and ask him, oh yeah, then how come when the Mishnayis listed a whole bunch of halachos that are based on Mashu Adam, that are based on individual measurements, how come this didn't make the list? So he had a follow-up question, whatever he was going to answer him. So Papa, so a very interesting thing, Rav, when it came to Rav Papa said, if we were so medayik in every teaching to ask all these questions and follow-up questions and be medayik in every word, we would never get to learn anything. We need to learn. We can't be asking all these questions, which is a fascinating it's a comment for the Gemara to have. In the Sefer Mishmaros Kuhuna, he writes that Mikan tochacha laosam rabbanim gedolim ga'onei aretz hamevalim yameim larik. All these people, these great gedolim, these brilliant people who waste all their time with dikdukim b'lashonos Rashi and Tosos. Why are they being didactic and everything? Like when Rashi says, Pasuk hu bi Yeshaya, why does Rashi have to tell me it's a Pasuk in Yeshaya and being medayik, these kinds of diyukim, just say, he says it's a Pasuk in Yeshaya, okay, just move on. Meaning, what do you have to just learn? Don't be medayik so much in every word. Very interesting that he, so based on this Gemara, he finds reason to critique a whole style of learning. In the Sefer Mishmaros Kuna, again, he's so strong, but in the, over here in the Masifti, he points out that in the Hakdama to the Sefer, in the Hisnat, he writes, "Masha kasafti neged chachamim dvarm shlo kahogen." That which I was a little rough on the other rabbis. Chazarni bi, I apologize. V'inani mevakish mechila mekvot harasam. I asked mechila. Dinei b'shamayim edai v'sahadei b'mromim shlo lezalzel b'kvod miniskavanti chas shalom. I don't mean to bash people. El ritzoni ayilam shlo yarayil rabbanim gedolim goni yeretz kamosim asher kadam avim mimasni l'sasek b'dvarim asherin b'mtalas l'rabim. So he says, I apologize, but I'm right. He says, I apologize, but you know, for people so great who their little finger is bigger than my whole body, they shouldn't be wasting their time with such stupidity. They should continue to learn a little bit more. That's all I meant by it. So he says, I meant what I said. Okay. So anyway, so Rav Papa says you can't be so medayik, but you want an answer. You measure it based on the individual, based on the person himself. Why doesn't it get listed based on that we measure it based on the individual? Because it's not so posh that you could measure it based on the individual's arms, because sometimes you have a person who's of average height, average stature, but very short arms. So he should get the average amos. He should not have to be limited to his own arms amos. So his own amos would not suffice in that situation. So that's why we don't list it in the Mishnah Midos. If you really want an answer, answer to the question. So there's an obviously significant discussion about the size of an amma and how to measure an amma. The Aruch HaShulchan says that he went to the government offices, to the draft offices where they draft people in the army, and he asked them what the average height of an incoming soldier is, and he figured out an amma based on 1/3 of the average height of a person. Yes, you have Tosos that says that 3 amos is only up until the shoulder, but Rov Rishonim say not that way. They say 3 amos is to the top of a person's head. So he figured out that the average but if you look at what the Aruch HaShulchan actually says, he assumes the average height of a person is 5'2". The average height of a man is 5'2". Probably not so accurate. So some of the later Achronim say, no, apparently the way they did in Russia is that they have too short, then they have a range of average, and then they have giant, right? So within the range of average, 5'2 is the low end of the range of average, but that doesn't mean that it's actually average. He said the Aruch HaShulchan didn't understand the statistics that he was looking at. Which sefer did I see that in the Shirin Shel Torah? He quotes the Aruch HaShulchan and he says he misunderstood the statistics a little bit. That's not, so it was within the range of average. Okay, so you got to figure out if you, based on the height of a person, it would seem the Chazon Ish's Amma is more accurate if you work with based on height of on the average height of a person. Okay, the Mishnah went on to say that if you have two people whose Dalet Amos overlap, and then we discuss if you have a third person where the two people on the two ends have their Dalet Amos overlap with the guy in the middle, but the two people on the two ends don't have their Dalet Amos overlap with each other. So we said, it's just like 3 Chatzeros where person in Chatzer A makes an Erev with Chatzer B, and Chatzer C also makes an Erev with Chatzer B, but Chatzer A and Chatzer C don't have an Erev together, so they're not allowed to carry to each other, even though they could both carry into the middle Chatzer. So, why is the Mashal any more Muvan than the Nimshal, right? Meaning, normally you give a Mashal, you give something that will explain a little bit better. Why is the Chatzer case so much more understandable than the case of 3 people within Dal Rama? Sachi Kamalu Rabbi Shimon Rabban Michti. It's like 3 chatzeres that are open to each other and open to Rishus Rabbim. So what the Gemara is really asking is, why would you argue over there and not argue over here? I mean, that's the whole kasha. Why would you have a machlokas in one case and not a machlokas in the other case? So the Rabbanan would hold that in the case of the chatzeres, you can't even carry between the middle one and the outer two, because avshidurin, there's so many people there that it's likely that something carried from one of the outer chatzeros to the middle chatzer will end up getting carried to the other chatzer. That's why they don't even allow carrying in the middle one. Over here, there's no reason to. It's only 3 people. You're not dealing with so many people that people are going to forget what's what. So everyone would be makel over here. V'shtay machitonos. The 2 outer chatzeros are not allowed to carry to each other. But wait a second. Once one of the outer chatzeros made an Erev with the middle chatzer, doesn't it become merged and it's now one chatzer? So when that middle, let's say chatzer A made an Erev with chatzer B, so now when chatzer B makes an Erev with chatzer C, shouldn't they all be joined together? Because when chatzer B makes the Erev with chatzer C, it's doing it on behalf of chatzer A also. So Rav Yehuda, says, the Gemara gives 2 answers to this. We have Rav Yehuda and Rav Sheshes. Says, no, the case was not where the 2 Erevin were kept both in the middle Chatzar. The middle Chatzar B made an Erev with Chatzar A and kept their box of matzahs in Chatzar A. They made an Erev with Chatzar C and kept the box of matzahs in Chatzar C. So A and C are not joined through the middle one. Rav Sheish says, no, it could even be the box of matzahs in the middle Chatzar. But it was kept in 2 different houses in the middle Chatzar, and that's why it doesn't join the 2 chatzeros on the ends. So kaman kebeshamai d'tanya chamish gavos eruvin nusnu b'shnei kelim beshamai armeinu ruvin eruv besulam me ruvin eruv. So what's the problem? Are we assuming like beshamai that if you have chatzeros and you have eruve chatzeros in 2 separate kelim that it invalidates the eruv? So you have it in 2 separate homes, so it can't be considered a single eruv because it's in 2 separate homes. Why would we assume like beshamai? Says Gemara, afilu tem beshilal. It could even be assumed like beshilal. Ad kan lo kan beshilal hasam. El b'shnei kelim v'bayis echad, aval b'shnei batim lo. When does Beis Hillel say we view it as if it's one chatzar all joined together? That's in two different kelim in the same bayis. But if it's in two different batim, if it's in two different houses entirely, then we would not say. Then we would not say. Then even Beis Hillel would agree that it's considered two separate entities. We have kashas on both of these terutz, and both Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Eruv was kept in the chatzeros on the two extreme sides, and Rav Sheshes, who says that it was kept in the middle, but on two in two different houses. The Rav Yehuda kasha, the kasha of Rav Yehuda is as follows: the Amar Kagon Shenasa Emtzas Eruv Bezu VeEruv Bezu VeKiven Dirve Emtzas Badi Chitzona Havi LeChada. But it's still a kasha. Once the middle chatzer makes an Eruv with one of the outer chatzeros, so it's one entity. VeChiyadu VeYerva Badi Idach Shlichus Avda. And therefore, when it goes and makes an Eruv with the other chatzer, isn't it doing the shlichus of its original partner? And therefore, they should all be joined together. Rav Sheshes kasha, and Rav Sheshes, we have the opposite kasha. Tavik chamisha shushurim b'chatzar achas v'shach chachon and v'lo yiriv da asriya dadi. We should view it like five different members of the same chatzar, that one of them is not joining in the eruv, and therefore they should asr on each other. Meaning, even the middle chatzar you shouldn't be allowed to carry in because there's this other partner that's not joining in this new eruv, so you shouldn't be allowed to carry anywhere. So amalei Rav Ashi lo Rav Yehuda kasha v'lo Rav Sheshes kasha. It's not a kasha on either Rav Yehuda nor is it a kasha on Rav Sheshes. Rav Yehuda lo kasha, given the irvala imtsayas badi chitzona, vishtayim chitzonos badi adadi lo irvu, if chatzar B and chatzar A make an eruv, and they dafka did not, and chatzar A dafka did not make an eruv with chatzar C, that's Chatzar A's way of telling us that they want an Erev with Chatzar B, but they do not want an Erev with Chatzar C. So when Chatzar B goes ahead and makes an Erev with Chatzar C, they are not working on behalf of Chatzar A. Chatzar A wants no piece of it. Ulrav Sheshes lo kasha, and it's not a kasha of Sheshes either, im amrit yurin lahakel, yamrit yurin lahachmir. Just because we're going to say that we consider people who have an Erev to be residents of a Chatzar in the Legabe Akula, are we also going to say that we consider them to be residents of a chatzar to be machmir as well and to make everything aser? No, we would never say such a thing. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up from Amr Vida Marav tomorrow. That's Hashem.